Benjamin Disraeli said that power has but one duty, to secure the social welfare of the people. And so it follows that any society in which the poorest of the sick and feeble are allowed to die because of unequal access to health care is inferior. And I'm leery of any democracy in which the Congress is so dishonest as to promise whatever it takes to get elected, but then become rapidly disconnected with the things that keep their voters alive. Like they thrive off of donations from health management organizations taking gifts and vacations that obligate them to do what's not within the best interest of their constituents. And how is it that the masses of people in the richest country in the world are not afforded even the basic level of insurance when the proper protocol should be Medicare for all, but instead we get caught up in jargon like public options and single payer? If you're broke and sick in America, then you ain't got a prayer. If you can't afford to write a blank check, then all American doctors have for you is a blank stare at your aches and your coughs. And big insurance companies can't do anything that Medicare doesn't do, but they do it for six times the administrative cost. Even though Congress forces Medicare to purchase prescriptions at a loss, and nobody's surprised that health care reform has transformed into a bill that says publicly traded insurance companies get to be taxpayer subsidized and still allowed to raise their premiums sky high, which is corporate socialism. And the saddest thing about the teabaggers is that they're in the habit of advocating for the people who are most against them, as long as they're against the president. Like, his election was the denial of their suffrage, and they're standing behind Glenn Beck, Sarah Palin, and Rush Limbaugh, and a bunch of other rich people who could care less about the lack of working-class Medicare coverage. Even if it's against their own family, as long as it's anti-Obama, then it's pro-something they could live with. And the only reason we don't have Medicare for the millions is there are too many powerful people in this country earning billions off of exacerbating American sickness.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
KFC recently partnered up with Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and they wanted to find a way to raise money for the foundation, right? Now, mm-hmm. Of course, they want to prevent diabetes. That's a very good thing for KFC to want to do. So how are they helping this foundation? They're asking customers to buy a half-gallon soda with 800 calories and 56 spoonfuls of sugar. So $1 of that purchase can go toward the foundation.
Which then will get funneled right back at you when you get diabetes from this drink. Well, see, this stuff drives me crazy. Forget the KFC angle and forget the insane hypocrisy of the whole thing, right? And why did the group even do it with them? That's even the worst part of it, right? But half a gallon of Pepsi?
I know. But
That's insanity.
This is what America is known for at this point, okay? Just overindulging, going crazy, eating as much as you want, you know, the huge portions. Why is JR laughing? Because JR thinks you should be able to drink that half gallon of soda and it's not a big deal.
Yeah, what's the big deal? Why don't you just drink it? Dude, piss off.
Why don't you drink a full gallon? I don't get it.
That's what I'm thinking. No, it's only, first off, it's a third of the proceeds of each soda. That's half a gallon of soda. We can't even fit that in your car anymore. Who's driving? Driving a stick shift with that jug of soda.
Right. Yeah, that's larger than the Prius. Okay. By the way, you know how expensive Priuses are?
Let me just share a, there you go. Let me just share some thoughts on this with you, if I may. This is, you know, war is hell. And in fact, let's go to that whole notion. Not only is war hell, but the notion of evil. We historically in the United States, you know, maybe George W. Bush and the Republicans, just for a moment, let's just imagine that possibly they actually went to the dark side. Historically, this five-pointed star was man, right? It meant man. It's the good thing. And if you flipped it upside down, the upside down five-pointed star with the goat with his chinny chin chin and his ears and his horns was the sign of Satan worshippers. It was a satanic star. Now, you can see on the American flag, our stars are right side up. All across America, you'll see symbols with five-pointed stars. The stars are right side up, the man stars. But around the year 2000, the Republican Party changed their logo from the stars being right side up to the stars being upside down, coincided with the coming on the scene of George W. Bush and Karl Rove. Very strange. I think they need an exorcism. Russia. The crazy notion that corporations are people, that money is speech, and that the rich can buy our nation. If we did that, we might bring the Republican Party back to sanity, back to its Dwight Eisenhower roots, back to the days when they actually could have an opposite opinion from the Democrats, but honestly broker solutions and situations and have reasonable conversations. Exorcisms for the Republican Party. Good idea.
The flag goes up to usher in a new beginning for the people of the world's newest country. Tens of thousands crowded into the capital city, Juba, to celebrate the independence of South Sudan. The country's president, Salva Kiir, took the oath in front of jubilant crowds. The country has achieved independence from the north of Sudan, and here to watch the historic moment was its president, Omar al-Bashir, as well as UN Chief Ban Ki-moon. The ceremony marks the climax of a process made possible by a 2005 peace deal that ended a long civil war. Conflict with the North claimed the lives of 1.5 million people.
Keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn. Why?
Give love, give love, give love. there's a Sudanese saying that goes, wreak havoc upon your fellow man, but love and protect Mother Earth.
Under pressure. Under pressure.
Oak Park woman goes before a judge. Her crime? Growing vegetables in her yard.
Turns out that a veggie garden in front of the house is against the city code. Fox News' Alexis Wiley reports.
The price of organic food is kind of through the roof.
So why not grow your own?
These are pepper plants. This one is a jalapeno. You can see there's a little baby jalapeno right here, which is super cute and one of our favorites.
But Julie Bass's garden is a little unique because it's in her front yard.
We thought it'd be really cool to do it so the neighbors could see. The kids love it. The kids from the neighborhood all come and help.
But Julie's cool garden has landed her in hot water with the city of Oak Park. Code enforcement gave her a warning, then a ticket, and now she's been charged with a misdemeanor.
I think it's sad that the city of Oak Park, that's already strapped for cash, is paying a lot of money to have a prosecutor bothering us.
That's not what we want to see in our front yard.
Why? Well, the city is pointing to a code that says a front yard has to have suitable live plant material. But here's the big question. What's suitable?
Do you think that this is suitable live plant material?
It's definitely live. It's definitely plant. It's definitely material. We think it's suitable.
Why is this not suitable?
Well, if you look at the definition of what suitable is in Webster's Dictionary, it'll say common. So if you look around and you look in any other community, what's common to a front yard is a nice grass yard with beautiful trees and bushes and flowers.
But when you look at front yards like this and this, is Julie's vegetable garden really worth the city's time and money?
What do you say to those who say, this is ridiculous?
Well, I would argue that you won't find that opinion from most people in Oak Park.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It is a scenario that's hard to believe. An Auburn man tries to cash a check at his own bank and winds up in jail.
And the King 5 investigators have learned the check in question was issued by the very bank that claimed it was a forgery. Linda Byron exposes a series of bank errors that left a new homeowner reeling.
I was really excited. For the first time, I actually got to buy a lawnmower and mow my lawn and everything.
Buying his own home was a big accomplishment for construction worker Ikenna Njoku. He's only 28 years old. Njoku qualified for the first-time home buyer rebate on his tax return.
It was really important. I mean, I had a vehicle that I was looking on paying off.
It wasn't just any vehicle.
I had a 2001 Infiniti i30. Silver is just like my favorite car.
Njoku signed up to have the rebate deposited directly into his Chase bank account. But when the IRS rebate arrived, there was a problem. Chase had closed his account because of overdrawn checks in the past. The bank deducted $600 to cover what he owed them and mailed him a cashier's check for the difference, $8,463.21.
When Njoku came here to cash the check at the Chase branch near his home, he was in for a nasty surprise.
The check had his name and address right on it and was issued by J.P. Morgan Chase. But the customer banker who handles large checks at the Auburn branch was immediately suspicious.
I was embarrassed. I mean, she asked me what I did for a living, you know, and asked me where I got the check from. You know, looked at me up and down like, oh, you just bought a house in Auburn, really? You know, it's like she didn't believe that.
The banker says the check looked fake, so she took it, along with Njoku's driver's license and credit card, and called bank support. Njoku says after about 15 minutes, he got impatient and told Chase he was leaving to do an important errand.
By the time I got back, the branch was closed.
Njoku says he called customer service and was advised to go back the next day to get his money. But when he arrived, it wasn't his money that was waiting for him.
Hey, they just threw me in jail. They called the police and said, you know, this guy has a fraudulent check.
Auburn police arrested Njoku for forgery, a felony crime.
I was just like, well, you're making a mistake, you know? You're making a big mistake, you know? You're going to take me to jail, you know? I got work tomorrow, you know? I can't afford to miss work.
Njoku was taken to jail on Thursday, June 24th. The next day, Chase realized its mistake, so they called and left Auburn police a voice message. But no one heard it. Njoku stayed in jail for the entire weekend.
Colleagues, 1990, Congress passed a law that required that all federal agencies, including the Department of Defense, must have auditable financial statements every year. Since that time, the Department of Defense has spent $10 trillion, $10,000 billion, and yet no audit has been conducted. In fact, there are numerous problems with accounting at DOD, and their financial management has been rated as high risk by the Government Accountability Office. Unfortunately, the Pentagon, being incapable of being audited, sought an exemption from audits. So in 2005, Congress passed a ban on completing an audit. It was contained in Section 376 of the 2006 National Defense Authorization Act. But in 2009, Congress got tough and they said, well, look, we've exempted you from audits, but let's have a goal, not a mandate, a goal of you doing an audit by 2017. Yet last September, in a hearing, Pentagon officials stated that meeting a deadline of 2017 for ever having their first ever audit of their books, and they will spend $4 trillion between now and 2017 without an audit, they said they would need more money to be auditable. That's chutzpah. That's incredible. We don't know where that $2.3 trillion went.
Today, thousands of Navy crewmen are told to ready their ships for sea. The aircraft carrier America, the battleship Iowa, and half a dozen escorts. No steaming orders yet, but military sources say the ships are bound for the Mediterranean.
I'm not aware that we're doing anything out of the ordinary at all. We have various maneuvers and practices there, and we're carrying on as normal.
No special U.S. buildup, sir?
No. You've got to stop listening to Gaddafi.
On Friday, ABC News was told by very senior administration sources that there would not be an attack on Libya in the immediate future.
There has been, as you know, an American attack on Libya. The attack is described to us as huge. Many targets in various parts of the country, which is about twice the size of Texas. BBC Radio in Britain, monitoring Radio Libya, says one of the targets hit was Colonel Gaddafi's home and that some of his family members may have been injured. There were many American aircraft involved, and the president is going to explain.
My fellow Americans, at 7 o'clock this evening, Eastern Time, air and naval forces of the United States launched a series of strikes against the headquarters, terrorist facilities, and military assets that support Muammar Gaddafi's subversive activities.
Destroy.
If the American warplanes were aiming to hit the Central Security Force headquarters nearby, they missed badly. Instead, they killed innocent civilians and destroyed civilian homes. The French embassy was clearly hit in the raid, but worst hit of all were the homes of ordinary Libyans. One bomb, which left a 30-foot crater in the middle of the street, destroyed houses on both sides. Families were rendered homeless. Journalists have so far seen 14 dead civilians, with many more wounded. The actual figures may never be known.
Well, it's Easter morning now, and there's no one around. So I unroll the submarine and walk into the town. There was no one with me. I was all alone. And I fought piranhas. And I fought the cold.
And was President Gaddafi himself one of the targets?
Gaddafi was not a target of my attack.
Colonel Gaddafi himself was reportedly unharmed. And to prove the point, Libyan television showed footage of the leader apparently meeting with officials today. Among last night's casualties, three of the children of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. Pediatricians said his 15-month-old adopted daughter Hanna died from the concussion of the bomb which hit Gaddafi's headquarters. Severely wounded were his two sons, 3-year-old Khamis and 4-year-old Saif al-Arab.
Did you think you would die that night?
Of course. 32 aircraft concentrated on bombing my house.
Innocent people are being brutalized.
The calls to impose a no-fly zone over Libya were based on Colonel Muammar Gaddafi ordering pilots to fire on Libyan protesters. But Pentagon officials say they've yet to see concrete evidence of it.
We've seen the press reports, but we have no confirmation.
That's correct. We've seen no confirmation whatsoever.
When someone like Gaddafi threatens a bloodbath that could destabilize an entire region.
Well, you know what it's like. I don't gotta tell you. Who puts up a fight? Walking out of hell now. When you fought the run down and you fought the cold, and there's nobody with you. Yes, you're all alone.
Alliance is running short on bombs, and it's Germany which has agreed to make up the shortfall for the controversial airstrikes. The move comes despite Berlin never originally backing the operation, and some suggest peer pressure has caused the shift in position. As RT's Irina Galushko reports, Berlin's attempt to have its cake and eat it too may not be proving very successful.
More bombs wanted. Just over 100 days of airstrikes, and with just over 2,000 bombs dropped by NATO allies on Libya, the mission has run into an unexpected problem, a lack of shells to drop.
Where there is demand, there is supply. In this case, Germany has agreed to provide the much-needed ammunition. Previously, Berlin has abstained from voting in favor of the UN Security Council resolution on Libya, a move that surprised some and angered others. But it may now be backing out of its decision.
The Germans may not want to participate, but they have decided that their position does not preclude them actually supplying weapons in this case or assistance.
Some believe Germany is under pressure from other NATO members, particularly the United States, France and the UK, to take a more active part in the Libyan campaign.
At first hand, our
ministries told the foreign affairs minister, don't go into Libya, that's a very bad conflict, it was started by the CIA and it's a dirty business, don't go there. So this is why he voted with Russia and China. Now the backlash from Washington is so tough that obviously we are under pressure to do something to make up for this decision.
Aside from peer pressure, Germany may be lured by the possible financial benefits of making its weapons available for NATO's use in Libya.
Probably Germany will get paid for delivering these arms to other countries, but that is normal practice between countries, even between NATO countries.
Out of the 28 NATO members, only 8 are actively participating in Libya. With civilian deaths, to which NATO recently admitted too, a shortage of weapons, and the ever-relentless Muammar Gaddafi still at the helm, the coalition may be facing just the beginning of its problems.
Yes, it's true, I am a young man, but I'm old enough to kill. I don't want to kill nobody, but I must if you so will. And if I raise my hand in question, you just say that I'm a fool. 'Cause I got the gall to ask you, can you maybe change the rules? Can you stand and call me upstart? Ask what answer can I find? I ain't saying I'm a genius. 2 + 2 is on my mind. 2 + 2 is on my mind. When I knew it.
So make no mistake, because we acted quickly, a humanitarian catastrophe has been avoided and the lives of countless civilians, innocent men, women and children, have been saved.
The son of Libyan leader Colonel Gaddafi has told the West it will not win the war against his father. Saif al-Islam, a key player in the country's military, and like his father, the subject of an international arrest warrant for crimes against civilians, told a French television station war was not the way to sort out diplomatic problems between Libya and Europe.
If you are angry with us because oil deals are not going well, you should talk to us. Rebels will not give you anything because they're not going
to
win.
He went on to add that Libya was willing to make concessions and implement democratic reforms, but that it was foolish to suggest Colonel Gaddafi would abandon the country.
You want democracy? We are ready. You want election? We are ready. But to tell my father to leave the country, it's a joke. We will never surrender. We will fight.
Meanwhile, France, along with several other powers, including Britain, continue to launch airstrikes against the Gaddafi regime, whilst rebel fighters consolidate their hold on parts of the country, even getting to within 50 miles of the capital, Tripoli, before being beaten back by government artillery.
Well, a teacher of mine once told me that life was just a list of disappointments and defeats, and you could only do your best. And I said, well, that's a f***ing cop-out. You're just washed up and you're tired, and when I get to your age, well, I won't be such a coward. But these days I sit at home, known to shout at my TV, and punk rock didn't live up to what I'd hoped that it could be. And all the things that I believed with all my heart when I was young are just coasters for beers and clean surfaces for drugs. And I packed all my pamphlets with my Bibles at the back of the shelf.
Now, our space shuttle titles are the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis. All right, Challengers were destroyed. Enterprise was an added addition. But Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis is our space shuttle missions. If you recognize who NASA is and recognize that they come from a Freemasonic line that goes back to the Nazis. It was the Nazi scientists that came over and gave us rockets. And then you couple that with Jet Propulsion Laboratories, and you've got the occult, because JPL is started by Jack Parsons, who was a member of the Ordo Templi Orientis, connected with Aleister Crowley, and all of this comes back to the occult. And our space program is run by the occult.
Well, it was bad enough, the feeling, and the first time it hit when you realized your parents had let the world all go to shit, and that the values and ideals for which many had fought and died had been killed off in the committees and left to die by the wayside. But it was worse when we turned to the kids on the left and got let down again by some poor excuse for protest. Yeah, by idiot f***ing hippies in 50 different factions who were locked inside some kind of 60s battle reenactment. And I hung up my banner in disgust and I head for the door.
Astronauts from the Space Shuttle Discovery have paid a trip to Dundee to visit the spacecraft's namesake, RSS Discovery, the vessel that first took British explorer Captain Scott to the Antarctic. The ship was launched in the Scottish city in 1901 and is now a floating museum. The astronauts' visit coincided with the final launch of a space shuttle, that of Atlantis, which took off from Cape Canaveral for the International Space Station. Michael Barrett flew the final Discovery shuttle mission earlier this year. Despite the program's retirement, he's confident the exploration of space will continue.
You know, the shuttle is an amazing vehicle, very iconic of human spaceflight. The one thing it can't do is leave Earth orbit.
Oh, but once we were young and we were crass enough to care, but I guess you live and learn. We won't make that mistake again, no. Oh, but surely, just for one day, yeah, we could fight and we could win. And if only for a little while, we could insist on the impossible. Well, we've been a good few hours drinking, so I'm gonna say what everyone's thinking. If we're stuck on this ship and it's sinking, then we might as well have a parade.
Main engine start. T-minus 10, 9, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff. The final liftoff of Atlantis.
Despite the threat of rain and a last-minute technical hitch, the Space Shuttle Atlantis has finally taken off on the very last flight of America's shuttle program. A million people lined roads and beaches around the Kennedy Space Center in Florida as the shuttle blasted into the skies for its 12-day mission into space. Atlantis is scheduled to reach the International Space Station on Sunday, bringing with it a stockpile of 1 year's worth of supplies. This mission is intended to bridge the gap until newly hired commercial freighters are ready to fly supply runs into orbit.
The three liquid fuel main engines throttling back to 72% of rated performance in the bucket, reducing stress on the shuttle as it goes transonic for the final time.
If it's still gonna hurt in the morning, and are better plans yet to get forming, then where's the harm spending an evening in manning the old barricade? So come on, old friends, to the streets, let's be 1905, but not 1917. Let's be heroes, let's be martyrs, let's be radical thinkers who never had to test drive the least of their dreams. Let's divide up the world into the damned and the saved, and then ride to the valley like the old Life Brigade, and straighten our backs and we won't be afraid, and they'll celebrate our deaths with a national parade. So come on, let's be young, let's be enough to care. Let's refuse to live and learn. Let's make all our mistakes again, yes. And then, darling, just for one day, yeah, we can fight and we can win. And if only for a little while, we could insist on the impossible.
On this day, Central Florida is the epicenter of layoffs in America. As the shuttle flew away, so did jobs. Here in Brevard County, the unemployment rate is already 10.8%. Layoffs started a few years ago, but the last shuttle means thousands more space workers across the country have met the end. We talked to some of the people who've spent decades on America's space adventure, and their finding for the unemployed, this can be a hostile planet.
There are some people who have been laid off.
We met 18 shuttle workers at a job center called Brevard Workforce. They come here to prospect for jobs and to work on their resumes and interview skills. A lot of them haven't looked for work in 30 years. Can I see hands again for the folks who are currently unemployed? Greg, I'll start with you. How long have you been unemployed?
October 2009.
October 2010.
March of this year.
Before Santiago.
Copy that.
Way back in 1990, the shuttle program peaked with 32,000 workers. But now, it's 6,300 and dropping fast. Liz Vasquez is a single mother who lost her job as an office worker. Her house is in foreclosure. Her unemployment checks just ran out. She's been out of work since December 2009.
I actually had my first interview about 3 months ago.
Let me see if I just heard you right. You got your first interview after more than a year and a half?
Yep. I've been trying all this time. And I thought for sure, you know, I have an associate's degree. It's not a bachelor's. But I thought for sure with all my skills and years of experience that I would have gotten something.
What's next?
Food stamps.
Leave the morning to the morning. Yeah, pain can be killed with aspirin tablets and vitamin pills. But memories of hope and of glorious defeat are a little bit harder to beat.
I've been a lifelong space buff.
Former shuttle technician Greg Cecil has a master's degree, but he's run into a problem that we've been seeing all over the country these days.
A lot of people I talk with online that used to work out at Kennedy Space Center, we're noticing a trend. If you're 45 or older, you don't get interviews.
Definitely.
Some of the ones that have gotten laid off that are under 45 are picking up jobs.
Do you think you're too old to rehire and too young to retire? Is that the idea?
Definitely.
We asked what they would be willing to do to support their families, and we got an answer we never expected.
I'm trying to get out to Afghanistan, of all places. That's where the money's at.
I want to go, too.
You're trying to go to Afghanistan?
There are people that are going.
What are you trying to do in Afghanistan?
Rebuild.
Yeah, make a living.
How many people think there are opportunities in Afghanistan?
Oh, I know it. I've heard many people.
Turns out their aerospace skills fit the war, and the war fits their special sense of duty.
These people maintained, built, and operated a human spaceflight program and produced for the American people, produced the crown jewel for the United States. And that's what we want to do.
How many of you expected to retire in the space program?
Everybody. How many of you have dipped into your retirement savings at this point? So you're spending your future that you were socking away.
Well, I figured the day I wake up dead, I won't go to work.
All right, now our space shuttle titles are the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis. All right, Challengers were destroyed. Enterprise was an added addition. But Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis is our space shuttle missions. And our space program is run by the occult.
For example, the Congress decided to send billions of dollars to victims of Hurricane Katrina. Guess how Ron Paul voted? Quote, is bailing out our people that chose to live on the coastline a proper function of the federal government, he asked, and you said no. And yet this, Paul's current district, which includes Galveston and reaches into the Brazoria County, draws a substantial amount of federal flood insurance payments for your own congressional district. This is the Houston Chronicle. Representative Ron Paul has long crusaded against a big central government, but he also represented a congressional district that's consistently among the top in Texas in its reliance on dollars from Washington. In the first 9 months of the federal government's fiscal 2006 fiscal year, it received more than $4 billion. And they report, the Wall Street Journal, 65 earmarked targeted projects, $400 million, that you have put into congressional bills for your district. Which leads us to the Congressional Quarterly, the earmarked dossier of Dr. No. There isn't much that Dr. Ron Paul thinks the federal government should do. Apparently, though, earmarks for his district are okay. Yes. Paul is the sponsor of no fewer than 10 earmarks in water resources bill, all benefiting his district. The Gulf Intercoastal Waterway, $32 million. The sunken ship you want to remove from Freeport Harbor. The Bayou Navigation Channel. They talk about $8 million for shrimp fishermen.
Why
would you load up?
You got it completely wrong. I've never voted for an earmark in my life.
No, but you put them in the bill.
I put them in because I represent people who are asking for some of their money back. But it doesn't cut any spending to vote against the earmark. And the Congress has a responsibility to spend the money.
Refuse the money.
Well, no, of course not. It's like taking a tax credit. If you have a tax credit, I'm against the tax system, but I take all my tax credits.
But if you're
I want to get their money back for the
people. You would say no pork spending.
No, that's not it. They steal our money. That's like saying that people shouldn't take Social Security money. I don't advocate that.
All right, let me.
I try to save the system, make the system work.
Let me ask you.
No, I think you have it all mixed up.
Well,
you're confused.
It's all facts.
You're confused.
This is the Wall Street Journal. You load up the bills with special projects.
No, you don't.
You deny that you have.
How many of them have ever got passed? But the whole point is we have a right and an obligation.
They pass. You vote against them, but you take the money.
No, you don't quite understand.
Okay.
They take our money from us, And the Congress has the authority to appropriate, not the executive branch. And I'm saying that I represent my people. They have the request. It's like taking a tax credit, and I put it in. The whole process is corrupt.
All right, let me ask
so
you that.
I vote against everything. But I vote against it, so I don't endorse the system.
But when it passes, overwhelmingly, you take the money back home.
I don't take it. That's the system. I'm trying to change that system. To turn it around and say I'm supporting the system, I find it rather ironic and
entertaining. Well, when you stop taking earmarks or putting earmarks in the spending bills, then I think you'll be consistent. Let me ask you about this. Term limits. You ran on term limits. I think we should have term limits for our elected leaders. You've been in Congress 18 years.
All maturity's a wrapped up package deal, so it seems. A ditching teenage fantasy means ditching all your dreams. All your friends and peers and family solemnly tell you you will have to grow up, be an adult, yeah, be bored and unfulfilled. Oh, but no one's yet explained to me exactly what's so great about saving. Most of all, I will not grow up. And I won't sit down, and I won't shut up. And most of all, yeah, I won't grow up.
I want to know about, regarding the conspiracy theory behind 9/11, I know that you do not believe that there was a conspiracy theory. However, you know this guy sort of supports that idea. So then why would you associate yourself with this kind of guy, considering your reputation as a presidential hopeful?
Well, just think of what it would be like if I could only go on the TV stations, the major TV networks, when I knew they agreed with me on all of it. All the major networks agreed with the war. That meant I could never be on any major TV network. Of course I don't support everything he says, but people that I associate with, I don't endorse their views. They come and associate with me to endorse my views, or I'm just expressing my views. But there'd be no way I could be on television if that was the litmus test, that I had to agree with everything that they stood for and what they promoted. It just wouldn't work.
All right.
Many of your supporters call themselves 9/11 truthers. They believe that the U.S. government was in some way complicit with the 9/11 attacks or covered it up. Are you tonight prepared to either embrace that rhetoric or ask those supporters to abandon it or divorce themselves from your candidacy?
Well, I can't tell people what to do, but I've abandoned those viewpoints. I don't believe that, and that's all. I've abandoned those viewpoints. I don't believe that, and that's all. That's the only thing that is important. That's all. That's the only thing that is important.
Now I'll play, and you sing, the perfect way for the evening to begin. Now I'll play, and you sing, the perfect way for the evening to begin. And I won't sit down, and I won't shut up.
Many of your supporters call themselves 9/11 truthers. Are you tonight prepared to either embrace that rhetoric or ask those supporters to abandon it?
I've abandoned those viewpoints. I don't believe that, and that's all. I've abandoned those viewpoints. I don't believe that, and that's all.
what they've learned at teacher training college or whatever. They take what they're told to teach in the curriculum, and they teach it, repeating, repeating, repeating. All over society, it's just repeaters. How do you know that? What says that in this book? Well, how does he know that? Doctor repeaters, repeating what the drug reps have told them. Repeating what the medical schools have told them. Oh, and don't you dare go out of this little box, otherwise you get struck off. But it's working, I don't care. Repeater, repeater, repeater. Round and round, scientist repeaters. We've got scientists repeating the song sheet. Global warming goes by carbon emissions because it says so. And then what they don't tell you is enormous and gathering numbers of cutting-edge scientists in their own disciplines are saying, it doesn't. It's the sun. Isn't that amazing? The sun has a connection with Earth temperature. Ooh. Repeater, repeater, repeater. Then there's journalists. Ooh. Classic repeaters. You see, what real journalists do is they take the official version of events and they look at it and they see if it stands up, and then they communicate that to the people. What repeater journalists do, 90-odd% these days, unfortunately, is they take the official version of events and they turn around and they pass it on to the people. And so instead of being journalists, they are simply public relations officers for the official version of events and life. And then there's politician repeaters.
While
all this goes on, all this comes together, all this obsession and acceptance of the movie version of reality, day by day, the Orwellian state stamps its jackboot closer.
H.L. Mencken again said, the most dangerous man to any government is the man who is able to think things out for himself. Almost inevitably, he comes to the conclusion that the government he lives under is dishonest, insane, and intolerable. Why is that? Because governments are not there to serve people. They are there to control people and direct people down a certain agenda road. And once you appreciate that that's what the relationship is between government and people, control, what is happening today begins to make more and more sense when you connect the dots. We have the movie version of events. We hear on the television news and in the newspapers and stuff. And then we have the secret agenda behind the scenes, which is obscured and covered by the movie version of events. And without puppet people, it could not be possible. Follow the white rabbit. Believe what you're told to believe. Think that war is peace, even if you can't spell. That you're a moron if you're against slaughtering the innocent. And as Orwell said, believe that war is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. And amazing things are allowed to happen by the vast majority, by the very few. You can pepper bomb cities of civilians and get away with it. This is what they don't want you to see, what's really happening in these wars of freedom. That's what's really happening. What do they want you to see? Hey, here's a game show. Watch this. Shut up. Hey, honey, I think he's going for the car. Liberation. This is what they don't want you to see about what's really happening. Instead, let's have a moral debate about Janet Jackson's breast at the Super Bowl. I'm morally outraged that this should happen. There was a moral outrage across America when this happened at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago or so. Where's the moral outrage? Where's the real immorality? This is what depleted uranium does to Iraqi kids. But never mind. Hey, Jerry Springer's on. Hey, we've got some boneheads here being manipulated to have a fight on live television. Hey, honey, he's going to hit him. It's a mind game. People said in very large numbers in the early 1990s that I was crazy, insane, having a midlife crisis. I'm sure many people still think the same. But I tell you what, if I am seen as sane by a world this crazy, I'm disappointed.
But there was another equally important aspect to the domestic propaganda campaign. If every adventure story needs a villain, it also needs a hero.
Residents of Granton, Kansas are breathing a sigh of relief after a heroic student stopped a potential school shooting this afternoon. Onion News Network reporter Jeremy Lee is standing by live outside Roosevelt High School with more. Jeremy, tell us what happened.
Well, Brooke, school officials are reporting that sophomore Will Tracy had few friends, dressed in black, listened to strange music, and drew disturbing artwork on his notebooks. Luckily, before he could orchestrate a school shooting or obtain a gun, he was shot and killed by Trevor Wilson, a high school football star and last year's junior prom king.
Thank God. I understand this happened in the lunchroom.
Yes. According to witnesses, Will walked into the campus cafeteria and sat down alone to begin eating his lunch.
Chilling.
Yes. And it was at that very crucial moment that Trevor Wilson took control of the situation and removed a handgun from his jacket and fired three times into Will.
How brave.
Yes, Brooke. And rather than seeking shelter or calling for help, Trevor then fearlessly walked over to Will's body and then fired nine times into his neck and chest.
Incredibly brave, facing down someone who could have easily become unhinged and violent at some point in the future.
Yes.
Now we have a camera phone video of the harrowing incident taken by a student. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. Oh my God, someone's shooting! Wait, that's Trevor!
Oh my God, Trevor Wilson?
Oh my God, he's so cute holding that gun.
Trevor, wait! Trevor, come back!
Thank goodness someone like Trevor was on hand to subdue Will. It sounds like Will was a real outcast.
Yes, Will had reportedly been posting on an internet message board about quote-unquote stopping some of his classmates.
In other words, he was a ticking time bomb.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Trevor made this statement to the press earlier today.
I was just thinking, don't stop. Punish this freak. Punish him more and show everyone your true power.
Brooke, we're getting word that Trevor has actually taken out four more potential shooters, including two band members in the fattest kid in school. Oh my God, amazing!
Just incredible. It's good to see young people out there following through with something.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
I'm Gregory Dawson, filling in for Clifford Baines, who got a call back. Wind power is gaining popularity as a clean, renewable energy source. But is it dangerous? This week, the American Coal Lobby released a new advertisement warning wind turbines could blow the Earth out of its orbit. Let's watch.
The Earth's orbit. All life depends on it. A little closer to the sun will burn up. A little farther away will freeze. But wind farmers want to install thousands of propellers onto the Earth, and propellers make things move. We like this planet. Let's not blow it away.
Chilling stuff. So, panel, is it time to reconsider wind energy?
I think
definitely.
We have to.
I'll
definitely.
Admit, I always assumed that wind energy was harmless, but after seeing this ad, I am not so
Some
sure.
Some leading scientists at Cole University recently took me out to dinner and told me about a study they had just published. It demonstrates how the sheer force of the new wind we're creating could accelerate the Earth's rotation so much, people will literally fly right
oh,
off
like
of it.
Like when you spin a lazy Susan too fast and the pepper shaker slides right
now,
off.
The environmental activist group Americans for Mining-Based Energy recently released a documentary entitled Terminal Gust in theaters soon. Could movies like this spur the public to take a more critical look at the wind industry?
Well, I just happened to see a screening of that film at the recent Center for Coal Policy conference in the Bahamas. There is a heart-rending segment about a small town which is suffering from wind whistling into their water supply.
Oh my God, kids could drink that water and get wind in
their
brain.
These big wind fat cats have our country in a stranglehold.
I'm tired of America sucking on the wind
teeth. The fact is, mankind is meddling with forces that cannot comprehend here. unlike coal, we don't know what wind is. No. We don't even know where it comes
wind
from.
Wind slips through your fingers. It's dishonest.
It's like that slogan from last year, coal, energy you can clutch.
Now, the coal lobby has recently raised concerns about other energy industries. Mm-hmm. Just earlier this week, they took out this full-page ad in the New York Times about how solar energy is sucking our sun
dry. The American people have to stand up and start buying only environmentally sound coal-based products.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Matter of fact, I happen to have this delicious snack bar here. It's 100% natural coal.
Hmm.
Mmm.
Mmm. It's yummy.
Mmm. Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.